It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. On Tuesday, President Trump announced a $12 billion emergency aid package for farmers to help them with money that they are expected to lose from retaliatory tariffs from Europe and China. Those tariffs are in response to Trump's tariffs on steel and aluminum. And yesterday, President Trump actually talked to somebody from the European Union who says that those tariffs might be negotiable. But there are lots of questions that come up here. Who gets this emergency aid? Who decides who gets the emergency aid? Who could the administration have avoided when they put these tariffs in place? And doesn't Congress have to kind of approve this spending? Adam Scheingate is going to help us answer some of those questions. He's a professor and a chair of political science at Johns Hopkins University. He's the author of the book Rise of the Agricultural Welfare State, Institutions and Interest Group Power in the United States, France, and Japan. Welcome to the program, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
So, the news runs fast around here. Tuesday there was a $12 billion aid package that was announced for farmers. Yesterday, President Trump met with a European Union lead trade negotiator, and they decided that they're going to start to talk about maybe not having a trade war. So first, talk to me about this $12 billion aid package.
Well, I think the details are still kind of trickling out. The plan, as I understand it, is to make support available to farmers who are adversely affected by these retaliatory tariffs. That's going to particularly affect farmers who raise soybeans and also pork producers. And the money would come in a variety of forms. One would be to provide direct supports, income supports to farmers, probably based on their historic levels of production. Another bucket of support would come through direct purchases by the government of excess supplies that would then be distributed through nutrition programs. And then the third part, I understand it to be money set aside for marketing promotion programs that would potentially increase purchases of these products domestically and overseas. But that's about all I know from what I've seen so far, and I think we're still waiting to get more details about how these programs would actually operate in practice.
So my first question is, can President Trump just unilaterally say, here's $12 million or $12 billion?
Right.
Or does Congress have to say, oh, no, we have control over the purse strings here?
Yeah, it's a good question. It is the case that there's an old law in the books that created something called the Commodity Credit Corporation, which was a federal agency that was established during the Great Depression to help administer farm programs when they were created. And there is existing legal authority that came from Congress to establish the Commodity Credit Corporation that still exists that does empower the federal government to do certain things. And as I understand it, that's the vehicle through which this would be done. But historically, it has been the case when we faced certain crises in the farm economy that it's Congress that steps forward and passes emergency aid. Most recently, we saw that happening in the early 2000s. So it is, I think, unusual for the executive branch, the president, to act unilaterally in this way. But it is legal and under this existing authority that goes back a long time.
What do you think about the farm bill? We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234, ideas at WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Actually, we'll get to the farm bill in a second. What do you think about this $12 billion aid package that President Trump is giving to farmers? And do you see some relief in the future? 800-642-1234. Adam Scheingate, the news last night was that possibly these tariffs with Europe, anyway, may be going away or may be eased a little bit. What do you know about that?
Yeah, as I understand it, the a sort of agreement in principle to basically to continue to negotiate. But in the interim, the retaliatory tariffs that the EU put on U.S. farm products are still in place. So, again, there's a possible way forward that would avoid or remove those retaliatory tariffs, but at the moment they still stand. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's easy to promise, but we'll have to wait and see what actually gets delivered in terms of outcomes and agreement.
It seems to me that if President Trump is saying, oh, we need to give farmers aid because of the deleterious effects of these retaliatory tariffs, that he's also saying my idea to impose these tariffs was problematic and is now hurting some people in the country.
Well, I think, yeah, it's an admission that these things are going to bite. And it's not just farmers who will be affected by it. It'll be a whole bunch of other industries and businesses, particularly those that would use inputs of materials like aluminum and things like that that are now facing a tariff and therefore will be of greater cost to them. And so I think it does illustrate the short-sightedness of the policy. But it also, in the case of the $12 billion bailout, reflects the political realities for the Republican Party, whose support is based in rural areas of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we just lost Adam. We will get him back in a moment. This is how phones work. We are talking about the $12 billion subsidy that President Trump has proposed to pay farmers who are being damaged by retaliatory tariffs. Give us a call here. We've got some calls coming in. 800-642-1234. We've got ideas at WPR.org, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. While we're getting Adam back, we've got Rana from Cameron. Welcome to the program, Rana.
Hi, good morning. I've been following this for quite some time. I find it rather confusing how anyone in the government would determine which farm commodity is the most important to support with anything that President Trump is suggesting. Wisconsin's the number one cranberry state, and cranberries are one of those commodities that have been threatened pretty hardly with tariffs. And so it's a small commodity crop, but yet it's number one in our state. So anyway, how do you determine that? How do you determine that pork is more important than cranberries? It's more important than lumber or any of the other commodities a person could name? Where do you draw the line, and how is it evenly determined? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you. You can tell I'm kind of frustrated.
Yeah, no, actually, I have a question for you, though. Are you a cranberry farmer?
I'm not. I'm an ag education teacher, and I have cranberries are part of our curriculum in my school. And so my students and myself are pretty up on cranberry production in our state. And we're just proud of our state as well.
You should be. Thank you very much, Rana. I appreciate that. We have Adam Scheingate back. Welcome back, Adam. We love technology.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. We love technology. So while we were getting you back, we talked to Rana, who says that cranberries are one of the biggest crops in this state, and she's kind of worried that they're going to get short shrift. You know, like there's even $12 billion sounds like a lot of money, but people are going to have to choose which farmers get how much. And how are they going to choose that? Who's going to be doing the choosing?
Well, I think we're still waiting to find out. I don't think there's been any information released on exactly how the U.S. Department of Agriculture is going to decide which farmers are eligible. I believe that the retaliatory tariffs that have been imposed against U.S. farm products have especially targeted soybeans and pork products, because those are the most important or largest imports from in those countries that are most important exports from the United States. And so that's where I think the bulk of the focus will be in terms of the aid package. But it's possible that producers of other commodities could be eligible for support as well. I think, you know, the broader question that the caller is raising is that our current farm programs are generally focused mostly on what we call the major commodity row crops, soybeans, corn, wheat, and the like, and other crops, particularly fruits and vegetables, historically have not received much support from the government through these farm programs. Mm. And so that's
that's a bigger picture part of this, which is, you know, why we have decided historically to focus our support on a certain set of commodities rather than others. And I think it goes back to the way that, you know, farming has changed and farming has diversified in a way that is, you know, changed over time.
So even before the recent trade disputes, American farmers have been having a really tough time. They've been getting farm subsidies. Are these tariffs really about agriculture, or is there more to it than that?
Well, I mean, the tariffs are designed to potentially have political effects, right? That is to say that, you know, the EU and China understand that the base of support for President Trump and the Republican Party is in the rural parts of the United States, and therefore they're going to target products that might have a political effect. It's also the case that when you look at the trade relationship that the United States has with the rest of the world, we are enormous importers, but one area where we have a trade surplus is in agriculture. So that's, you know, so if you're China or the EU and you're looking to retaliate against the tariffs that the U.S. has imposed on your product, your attention is obviously going to be drawn immediately to agriculture.
We are talking to Adam Scheingate from Johns Hopkins University about this $12 billion aid package and about the tariffs in general. And we're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. We've got Chris from Columbus. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Yes, I got a laugh at this because everybody that said Trump's a buffoon is being proven wrong. I think he knew about this remedy when he started the whole tariffs and knew that there was a way that he could get a political win and pressure other countries to change their trade practices. Me, I'm now eating cranberries every morning with my oatmeal.
Okay. Adam, President Trump knew what he was doing, and this $12 billion was always part of the plan.
I think there's some truth there. I think they always knew that they were going to have to put together some kind of aid package because they could anticipate that the response to the U.S. tariffs was going to be retaliatory tariffs on agriculture. I would just say that we have yet to see any outcome from the strategy that's actually different than what trade policy has been previously. So we're going to negotiate potentially with the EU, as was announced yesterday, to address some of these tariff barriers that exist. But that's basically what we were doing before Trump came to office. So we're still waiting for results. And in the meantime, it's going to adversely affect people in the United States.
So Trump's policies are not popular among many congressional conservatives. We are going to be talking to Senator Ron Johnson in a moment. He said yesterday that this is becoming more like a Soviet-type economy here. Commissars deciding who's going to be granted waivers, commissars in the administration figuring out how they're going to sprinkle around benefits. He's a free trader. He wants to see fewer tariffs, but tariffs that actually work and balance things out, and not government handing out subsidies. Are you seeing a revolt from conservatives like him?
Well, I think it's clear that conservatives don't like to see the federal government stepping in this way and deciding which sectors of the economy are going to get help and which sectors of the economy are not going to get help. But again, let's put this in some historical perspective. The United States has been intervening in agricultural markets since the 1930s. And so, in a sense, we're just doing more of the same by deciding that we're going to try to adjust supply and demand in agricultural markets through government action as opposed to through the free market. So there's some continuity there we need to put in context.
We are talking with Adam Scheingate about this $12 billion aid package President Trump wants to give to farmers who have been hurt by tariffs and retaliatory tariffs. We're taking your calls here on this, 800-642-1234. Steve from Sun Prairie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm more libertarian, so I am really a free trader, even if there's other tariffs other countries put in place. However, it seems that President Trump is trying to negotiate to eliminate all tariffs. That seems to be the end game, something conservatives as your guest just said, agree with, and I think liberals are starting to come around to. If we all recognize these trade imbalances and that the world are using tariffs to take advantage of the United States, we agree they should be eliminated. If not this way, how should we do it, considering we've been trying for 40 years to get these tariffs eliminated?
Thank you for that, Steve. Steve brings out an interesting premise that his question is built on, that countries all over the world are trying to take advantage of the United States. Do you see it that way, Adam?
I mean, I guess I would disagree. I mean, I think the question is, if I understand the caller correctly, is about strategy, right? I mean, is it a better strategy to sit down and negotiate, or is it a better strategy to have this kind of tit-for-tat tariff battle that forces, supposedly is going to force countries to the table? And as I said, I mean, we haven't seen proof that that's going to work. Maybe we need to give it more time. But I think one important thing to remember is that throughout the negotiations that have happened previously, it's also the case sometimes that the United States is an obstacle to progress because we want to protect our producers like other countries want to protect their producers. And agriculture has long been a sticking point in the global trade negotiation picture. And that's because of the policies that we've had in place in agriculture since the 1930s. The European Union also supports their farmers. And countries that are major exporters of agricultural goods, countries like Brazil, Australia, Canada, they have been asking the United States and the European Union for 40 years to reduce some of our protections for farmers, and we haven't been willing to do that. So it is true that these negotiations have failed in the past, but we have to take some responsibilities for that failure. And it's not entirely clear that this new strategy of imposing tariffs on other countries is really going to get to a different outcome. And I think what we saw yesterday is a realization from the administration that you actually have to get to the negotiating table if you're going to make any progress on this. And mm-hmm. So in a sense, the European Union and the United States yesterday agreed to get back to the negotiating table, which is to go back to the strategy that we've been pursuing for the last 40 years in trade.
Okay, so question here. What is a good trade policy, a global trade policy, going to look like? It's not necessarily going to be no trade barriers, only free trade, right? Actually, we're going to get to that question in a moment. We've got to go to break and we will come back with Adam Scheingate in a moment talking about these trade policies. It's The Morning Show.